With just over a week left until the election, there are some things about Donald Trump that you might want to know. Today, we'll be discussing information about Trump's own spiritual journey, directly reported from members of his Spiritual Advisory Council. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Weekend Review, featuring the best segments taken from our Stand in the Gap Today daily program. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth. Stand by to hear a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. The pastor's and the believer's goal should be to impact our culture for Christ. As part of our mission to urge pastors to boldly preach the whole counsel of God and equip people to be soldiers and ambassadors for Christ, we're establishing APN chapters in all 50 states. Learn more on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Now, here's our host and American Pastors Network President, Sam Rohr.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend. We're glad you've joined us as we'll be featuring segments taken from our daily program called Stand in the Gap today. On October 21st, my co-host David Kistler and Gary Dahl took some time to discuss recent information that is circulating about Donald Trump in regard to his spiritual life. You see, Trump has a spiritual advisory council both nationally and in Pennsylvania, of which Gary Dahl and I are a part. And in this capacity, we've had the opportunity to talk directly with those who are personally involved in counseling and advising presidential candidate Trump on matters of spiritual and moral significance, and what has been revealed will be of great interest to you, our listeners. Now let's go for this first selection right now, where Dave and Gary introduce the topic and share some information about which the controlled media will report absolutely nothing.
Friends, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler. I'm going to be your host today. I'm joined today by Gary Dahl, who is, of course, a regular on the program, and we are minus Sam Rohrer, who is away. But friends, today's program is going to be a phenomenal one. I want to encourage you to grab your phone, text a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, family member, encourage them to tune into the program today, because we're going to be sharing some things with you that are going to greatly encourage you. That is, if you are a freedom-loving, constitutionally committed, conservative, and most of all, Christian citizen of these United States. You're not going to want to miss the program yourself. And again, I want to encourage you, call someone else and encourage them to tune in. We have been advertising, Gary, at least I have, that we're going to be talking about what's going on in Donald Trump's life from a spiritual perspective. He appears to be, from all the reports that we're hearing, and Gary, you have a little bit different perspective on this, and I'm going to get into that in just a moment, but there appears to be a journey that Donald Trump is on that is beyond encouraging. And friends, we're going to be getting into that in segments 2 and 3 as we talk with one of Donald Trump's spiritual advisory council from the state of Pennsylvania. And so, friend, you're not going to want to miss this. However, Gary, I want to go to this in segment 1. The most recent poll, it's a Rasmussen poll, which is considered to be one of the most reputable polls out there. It has come in, and the results of it post-debate are now out there. And it's interesting. It shows Donald Trump with a 3 percentage point lead nationwide over Hillary Clinton. My question to you, Gary, is this. That is about a, depending on which poll you're looking at, about a 7-point swing. He was 4 points down, I think, in the last Rasmussen poll. Now he's 3 points up. So it's about a 7-point swing, which to me is very, very interesting and very, very intriguing. What do you think resulted in that swing? Was it his performance in the debate? Was it the fact that these WikiLeaks emails are beginning to take hold and all of the scandal-ridden components of the Clintons' lives is beginning to be known to the American people? What's going on, Gary, in your estimation?
Well, I think, Dave, that all of what you said perhaps is taking place. I would, though, put it this way, that the electorate across the nation is beginning to face reality. I mean, I think that they are seeing Hillary Clinton. They realize that she cannot be trusted. They realize that she's been around for 30 years and really has not done too much. They realize that she is corrupt and crooked, of course, as Donald Trump would say. And I think that they're beginning to recognize that. In addition to that, Dave, I think that the people are starting to look closer at the issues. You know, there's been a lot of things being flung back and forth between these two candidates, a lot of dirt, a lot of bad stuff. But when it comes down to the issues, I think that there is a lot of substance, particularly in Donald Trump, and that which Hillary would be standing on and doing and performing as it relates to issues is just the same old Barack Obama and the same old stuff that Hillary has been trying to do and has, you know, been involved with for so many, many years. So I think that what we're finding is that people are coming to reality. Something else, though, Dave, two other things. I think, and you know, you've heard me say this. I don't know that I've said this on air, but you've heard me say this, and I may be wrong, but I kind of think that when November the 9th rolls around, we are going to see that Donald Trump has won in a remarkable way. I've even used the word landslide. And the reason I say that is because of the fact that people are tired with the same old, same old. However, I also believe that there are people who have not come out in these polls saying that they will vote for Trump simply because of fear. They're afraid of what people might say or what people might think of them or whatever the case may be. But when they get into that voting booth and close the curtain, they're going to vote for Donald Trump. And it could be that more and more of those individuals are sort of slipping out of the closet, as it were, even before we actually get to the election. So I think those are some of the things to take into consideration.
You know, Gary, the point that you just made, I think, is one that needs to be made, and that is this. As more information comes out via these document dumps through WikiLeaks and all the emails and all the things that those emails are revealing, maybe people are feeling a little more emboldened to come out and say, you know, I am going to vote for Donald Trump. Yes, I know there's been some things in his past that, you know, prior to all this information coming out against Hillary Clinton, maybe they'd have been a little reticent to admit they're going to vote for him. But now with all of the scandal that Hillary is involved in and all of these emails that are coming out, maybe they are not as reticent to come out and express their support for Donald Trump. Now, friends, we want you to stay on the line in segments two and three. I want to reiterate this because we have listeners joining us all the time. We're going to be talking about the spiritual journey that Donald Trump is on, and we're going to be talking with one of the Pennsylvania spiritual advisory team members about that very thing. You're not going to want to miss it. But, Gary, I want to go to one last thing in this segment before we go to the break and then spend the majority of the rest of the program talking about Donald Trump's spiritual journey, and that is this. Hillary Clinton's latest mishandling of sensitive information may have actually occurred in front of 70 million people on Wednesday night at the debate. And of course, what I'm talking about is when she noted that it takes 4 minutes from the time that a president makes the call to use nuclear weapons until their actual launch. The remark, Gary, as you well know, came amid questions about the fitness of Clinton and GOP candidate Donald Trump to hold the nation's nuclear codes. But some, Gary, are now saying, including former intelligence operatives, that the nuclear response time of 4 minutes is protected information. Let me read you a statement by someone that is, you know, involved in the security apparatus. His name is Dan McGuire. He's a former strategic planner with AFRICOM. And he said, quote, she was careless with respect to her emails. Now she gives out privileged, secret, highly classified information. She has a tendency to use previous access and her position as Secretary of State to give an appearance of knowledge to show that she has answers rather than protecting that information. Gary, when she said that, when she mentioned the 4 minutes, I almost fell out of my car seat as I was driving home. I thought, she didn't just say that. She didn't just say that. Surely that is privileged information. And now some are saying that's exactly what it was. What do you think about that?
Well, it says what we've talked about all along on this particular program, particularly with these email leaks, that she is indeed careless, but also she lacks judgment. She totally lacks judgment. You know, why would she come out with that? Well, maybe it's because of the fact that she's self-absorbed. Absolutely. But, you see, she does not realize how serious it is to protect the security of this nation. And so that's why she's done that, in my opinion. That's why she's done these other things with the emails. She is not fit to be in the Oval Office, David. In my opinion, this is just an illustration that proves that.
Well, Gary, I agree with you. And there is more information, friends, that's breaking even as we speak. If we have time in segment four, we may try to address some of that. Has to do with conflicts of interest with President Bill Clinton, former President Bill Clinton, and his association with the Clinton Global Initiative, which is a subset of the Clinton Foundation. Friend, that is a scandal-laden entity, to be sure. When we come back from the break, we're going to jump right into the middle of what we've been promoting, and that is what is going on as far as Donald Trump and a spiritual journey that he is on. Friends, if you are a committed believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to want to miss this. So join us after this brief timeout as we discuss this vitally important topic. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today.
You've just heard the introduction to today's topic about Donald Trump's spiritual journey, as we're putting it. Dave also mentioned that the polls we don't hear about are telling a different story about the race between Trump-Pence and Clinton-Kaine tickets. We're going to go now to our next segment, where Gary shares how he came to be involved with Trump's spiritual advisory team in Pennsylvania and what he's seen and heard as a part of that.
Well, friends, we've been promoting on social media, email, and certainly at the beginning of this program that we're going to reveal some information today about Donald Trump's spiritual journey. And our window into that topic comes via two people. One of those people is on Trump's National Spiritual Advisory Council, and the other is on one of his state spiritual advisory councils. Gary, a lot of our listeners probably did not know this. In fact, I guess most of them did not know this, but you were a member of Trump's Pennsylvania Spiritual Advisory Council, and I know you were in a conversation recently with one of Trump's national council members that is what really is the basis for what we want to talk about today, because I found it to be very, very interesting. And of course, you were given permission, as were was every person on that that conference call. They were given permission to talk about this topic. And so we're going to be doing that today. Gary, let me first ask you this to kind of lay the groundwork and the foundation for it. How did it come about that you were invited to be part of that council?
Well, let's maybe back up a little bit and go back a month or so, maybe 2 months. I can't remember now. I guess it was back in July. You know, there were a number of individuals, as you well know, Dave, who were invited to have a discussion with Donald Trump up in New York City. And we were invited to be involved with that. You were invited to be involved with that, but because of your schedule, you were unable to go. Sam and I went. And it was at that particular meeting up in New York City that it was announced that Donald Trump had at least 25, maybe 30 spiritually minded people who were guiding him from the spiritual perspective all of the time. And these are great people. I mean, great names. Names like David Jeremiah, names like James Dobson, names like Bob Jeffries. And you know, we could just go on and on and on. And Michelle Bachman, who we had on this program and who many people know. And so it was exciting to hear about that these people would be talking to Donald Trump about spiritual issues and about matters of biblical wisdom. Well, as it turns out, probably, I don't know, it was before I went to Africa, so maybe the better part of first part of September, let's put it that way, the end of August. One Saturday morning, I was sitting in my front porch, and Sam called me and said that we have been asked if we would be on the Spiritual Advisory Council for Pennsylvania for Donald Trump that would work along with the National Advisory Council. And so we began to question him. Particularly, Sam talked with Michelle Bachman and I think a few others and said, is this a vital council? Is it active, or is it just something in name? And I believe it was Michelle Bachman who said to him, no, this is active. As a matter of fact, every day, those who are a part of the Spiritual Advisory Council on the national level are in touch with Donald Trump, and they want to set up something on the local level in Pennsylvania. Now, I do not know if there is a Spiritual Advisory Council in other states, David. I don't know that. But I do know that we were selected to be a part of that advisory council here in Pennsylvania that's made up of about 12 people, as I understand, Eight are preachers or people in ministry, and then there are four or five born-again elected officials. John Eichelberger, as you know, is a part of that. You know John. And so we meet on a regular basis and discuss issues that in turn is sent on up the line, as it were, to Donald Trump.
Gary, let me say this, and I just want to point it out. We've had this gentleman on our program, and that is the National Director for Faith Engagement of the GOP. This is the first election cycle where there has been someone in either party that has filled a slot like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a gentleman with the GOP that is doing exactly that. So it appears as if the Republican Party's, Gary, is reaching out like they've never reached out before to get spiritual advice, solid biblical counsel. And it is beyond encouraging that Donald Trump and his campaign is doing the same thing.
Now, let me just say, you know, just in I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But yeah, I think the GOP is reaching out. But this particular spiritual advisory council is actually, it was Donald Trump who reached out for this.
Correct. Yeah. The National Director for Faith Engagement of the GOP has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. This is a totally separate entity. Now, Gary, something happened a couple of days ago. There was a conference call that you were on. The other members of the Pennsylvania Spiritual Advisory Council were on that call, and one of the national spiritual advisory team members, a gentleman by the name of Dr. James Robinson, who many will recognize. He was an evangelist for years. He has got a national television program. He does a lot of ministry around the globe. He hosted that telephone call that you were on, and Gary, he shared with all of those on the call some very interesting things that you were encouraged, if you wanted to record. And if you wanted to talk about them, James Robinson said you're welcome to talk about them, but just quote me correctly. And so we're being very careful here to share what he shared with that group of the Pennsylvania Spiritual Advisory Council. Gary, share a little bit about what the topic of conversation was before we have to go to the break. And then after the bottom of the hour break, we're going to delve into the specifics. And I've got some very pointed questions I want to ask you.
Okay, Dave, you know, yes, James Robinson is one of those 25 or 30 people on the National Spiritual Advisory Committee. And he also happens to be one who Donald Trump wants to be with him as much as he possibly can. One of the things that we have learned is that every day, every place that Donald Trump goes, he takes at least one of these spiritual advisory members on the national scene. They fly with him, they go with him, they go to the rallies with him. Not only that, but they also sit in on strategy sessions. And many times, you know, you've got the political folks on this side saying, Donald, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then, of course, they're giving advice, obviously. And then Donald will turn to the spiritual advisors and say, what do you think? Many times, David, and this is encouraging to me, many times Donald Trump would, after hearing what both groups said, the political and the spiritual folks, Donald Trump would say, well, you know, I'm going to go with the direction, with the advice that these spiritual advisors are giving me. And one of the things that James Robinson said, and anybody that knows James Robinson knows that he's straight, he mentions no words, he's direct, he's straightforward, you know, one of the things that James Robinson said to us is that over and over and over again, it is very evident that Donald Trump is on a spiritual journey and wants to know what the scriptures says about life and about the issues of life. That directly from James Robinson, who we know does not mince any words, who tells the truth, tells it like it is.
Gary, let me jump in and ask you this. Did he say to you and to those that were part of the Pennsylvania Spiritual Advisory Council, did he indicate to you, did he say to you directly that he believed there has been a point in the last several months, somewhere along the line, where Donald Trump has made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes, that question was asked on Tuesday night. The question was very clear. Has Donald Trump trusted Christ as Savior? Because, you know, when we were up there in New York, it was brought out through James Dobson, that Donald Trump had made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. In answering that question that was directed to James Robinson on Tuesday night, his answer was absolutely yes. Donald Trump has. He's a babe in Christ. James said he has a long way to go in his spiritual growth, but that he has, as far as he is concerned, trusted Christ as Savior, and that Trump is actually on a spiritual journey to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, you know, James reminded us that he's a babe in Christ. He needs discipleship. He needs direction. But James Robinson was very, very clear on that, Dave. The answer is absolutely yes.
Gary, prior to going on this program, I conducted a Q&A time via telephone with a couple of classes of a local local high school here in our area, and they asked me questions with respect to this. And one of the questions they asked was this: you know, if Donald Trump has accepted Christ, why does he use certain words, you know, that are considered unacceptable for Christians to use? And I'll not, you know, try to spell the words or even state what the words are, but he used one the other night in the debate, and I said something to them that I want to share on this program, if I can, very quickly before the break. Years ago, when we were in D.C. doing a crusade, one of the White House press members came down to cover our event, and they were part of the White House press pool. And I asked them the question, you know, what is George W. Bush like? Gary, I believe George W. Bush knows Christ as Savior. I don't think he's had the kind of teaching that maybe you and I have had, and he's not as strong a believer maybe as he should be or could be. But this person echoed that. Yes, I believe, you know, he is a follower of Jesus Christ. I said, does he ever get mad? And this person said, yes, he does get mad. And every once in a while, he'll let a word slip. Now, Gary, here's the thing. I'm not justifying wrong talk. I'm certainly not justifying that 11-year-old video where those comments that were beyond lewd and inappropriate were made 11 years ago. I'm not justifying any of that. I'm just saying that there are people that serve in public office that will use language, but that language does not necessarily mean they're not a believer in Jesus Christ.
No, just a babe in Christ.
They're a babe in Christ. So, friends, what I'm getting at and the direction we're going is what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. We're talking about the spiritual journey that Donald Trump, candidate for president of the United States, is on. And friends, we've got a lot more to delve into. Gary was on that phone call. It was a phenomenal phone call. And if you're a believer in Christ, if you are a constitutionally committed conservative Christian, this ought to be beyond encouraging to you. You're not going to want to miss the next segment. So come back after this brief break.
We're glad you're listening to today's Stand in the Gap Weekend. Did you know that the American Pastors Network produces not only Stand in the Gap Today and Stand in the Gap Weekend, but also a one-minute program carried on over 200 stations nationwide called Stand in the Gap Minute? Here's the program from last week. I hope that you enjoy this important challenge. Do you believe in God? The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows His handiwork. A beautiful sunset, a new life, a soft summer breeze." Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network with another Stand in the Gap Minute. The Bible says that the evidence is so clear that no one can honestly say that there is no God. Isn't it sad that in our God-rejecting culture, so many educated people can be so ignorant? But rejecting God doesn't eliminate Him, nor can it avoid the day we stand before Him and confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If I were to ask you if you believe in God, I hope you'd say yes. If I were to ask you why you believe in God, I trust that you could join with me and say, "I believe in God, not because I see Him, but like the sun, I can see because of Him." The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping people to impact the culture for Christ. Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net to find out how you can help. Welcome back to this Stand in the Gap weekend program. If you've just tuned in, we've been talking about Donald Trump's spiritual journey, as we're putting it, and specifically about his spiritual advisory board, of which Gary Dahl and I are both part. In the last segment, we heard that Donald Trump has made a profession of faith. This might have come as a shock to some of you, but as we mentioned, those who are closest to him are reporting that he's a very new believer and in need, in fact, of discipleship, growth, and direction. In fact, in this next segment, you'll hear a firsthand account of Trump's reaction to the recently released videos from 11 years ago. If you were watching the news just a few hours after the videos were released, Trump issued an apology for his inappropriate comments, which could be viewed as a first indicator of a changed heart. It's our hope that this information will lead you to pray harder than ever before this election that's right before us.
Well, friends, we are discussing some incredibly powerful information regarding what is going on in the spiritual life of Donald Trump. And this is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dull. And if you're just now joining the program, Gary Dull is a part of Donald Trump's Pennsylvania Spiritual Advisory Council. And there was a conference call that was held on Tuesday evening with one of the members of the National Spiritual Advisory Council for Donald Trump. And the gentleman that hosted that call was James Robinson, the well-known evangelist, radio preacher, TV preacher that's been around for years, a man who, as Gary said in the last segment, is known for being a straight shooter. And by the way, Gary, many years ago, James Robinson held a crusade about 30 miles from here in Hickory, North Carolina. And I'll tell you what, he just confirmed his reputation as an incredibly straight shooting individual in that crusade down there. He's just a wonderful guy. And he said unequivocally, friends, in this conference call on Tuesday, that Donald Trump has made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. He's a baby Christian. He's got a long way to go, as the Apostle Paul did after he came to faith in Christ, except that he had some spiritual background that Donald Trump has not had. Donald Trump has grown up in a totally secular environment and very little spiritual input. But James Robinson has said he has made that profession of faith, and he wants to know what the Bible has to say about some vitally important issues and about life itself. Now, Gary, what happened after Donald Trump has professed to come to faith in Christ is the release of this 11-year-old video in which he made very, very inappropriate and lewd comments. Now, I know that came up, Gary, on that conference call. Someone asked about that, and the response that James Robinson gave, Donald Trump's response when he became aware that that was going public, was what? Because I found that to be absolutely amazing, and to be quite honest with you, Gary, a great blessing.
Yes, and I will get to that, but I want to mention something before I answer that question about James Robinson. I am not aware, David, maybe you are, but I'm not aware that James Robinson has been close to presidents down through the years. I mean, we all know how Billy Graham and some others have been close to presidents, but James Robinson has mentioned that he's been close to presidents and people in high office for many, many years. He's been in, you know, circles where he's given advice and counsel and so forth and so on. One of the things that he said the other night as well, and I don't want to forget this, that's why I'm jumping in here with it. Please forgive me. But one of the things he said the other night was this. He said he's been with many presidents and people in high position, but he says he has never sensed the desire for one of those men to really understand Scripture and grow in Christ and seek spiritual advice to the degree that Donald Trump is doing that right now. Mm. Now, David, beyond anything else, that says a lot. That says an awful lot to me, that Donald Trump is really seeking spiritual advice, and in James Robinson's words, much more than some of these other guys he's been with down through the years. That's incredible, Dave.
You know, Gary, it is. And if I could just for a second jump in before I go back to that question, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. When someone comes to faith in Christ and their pursuit of life changes and they want to know what God's word has to say, they want the input of spiritual advisors. Gary, that is one of the strongest indicators that something has indeed taken place inside the heart. Now, with respect to that, Gary, I found what James Robinson said about Trump's response to the release of the content of that video where he made those lewd comments about women and so on. I found what he said Trump's response was to be incredibly encouraging. Can you share that with our listening audience?
Absolutely. That question was brought up again. You know, how did Trump respond to that? Well, once again, James Robinson was with him. As I said, Trump really wants James Robinson with him as much as he can be. I mean, and that's encouraging to me. He was with him either actually when Trump heard that this was released or shortly thereafter. And James Robinson said that he has never seen such remorse, shame, and embarrassment as he saw in Donald Trump when that came out. He said the word that he used was crushed. He said Trump was a crushed man. And then, of course, as we know, several hours later, I think James Robinson said 4 hours later, he went before the cameras and apologized. But here again,
Gary, let me jump in. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, brother, but turnabout is fair play. No, I'm just joking.
You
but
got
anyway,
it. You got it.
No, I want to kind of hone in on this because this is very important. You remember in Psalm 51, you know, David had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against God. The prophet Nathan comes and he is confronted with what he has done, and David prays that incredible prayer found in Psalm 51. You'll have mercy upon me, O God, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, clear when thou judgest. And he uses all the right terminology, and I think the appropriate term would be David was crushed when he came face to face with what he had done. I want to contrast this, Gary, because I think this is very important, and I want you to finish the story, certainly. But let's contrast this with Bill Clinton, who lied in front of a congressional committee. He lied in testimony and said, I did not do certain things. I did not have sex with that woman. And even Gary, when he was pressed into the corner and had to admit, yes, I did do it, you did not see this kind of apology that we saw come from Donald Trump. Within 4 hours of the release of that video, he is out there on video issuing a very clarion apology for what he did. Gary, to me, that is, again, beyond encouraging. It smacks of what any person who is a follower of Jesus Christ will do, like David of old. That is, look, I admit it. I did it. It was wrong. That is the terminology Donald used. It is inexcusable. That is not, though, who I am now. I find that to be very, very interesting that was, according to James Robinson, the response of Donald Trump.
Well, that's right. And I'm glad you brought up Psalm 51, because where I was going with it, as you turned about the fair play and interrupted me, where I was going with it is, again, James Robinson has been in the gospel ministry for 55 years. He brought that out the other day. He's 73 years of age. He's been in the gospel ministry for 55 years. And he said, I have been with many people who've expressed repentance over things. He says, I've never seen anything, any man broken to the degree that Donald Trump was. Now, David, put that into 55 years of a context of preaching the gospel and dealing with people. You know, James Robinson said the man's genuine. He actually, somebody asked him about that. He said, if Donald Trump is not genuine, then I'm fooled. But he says, I've been around a long, long time, and I can see a genuine heart in Donald Trump of somebody who's on a spiritual journey, who has shame over this video of 11 years ago and other things as well, but that Trump wants to go on with the Lord.
Gary, let
me interrupt you again.
Yeah, okay. That's okay, Brother Gary. It's your turn.
Before I get the chance to do it. You know, keep in mind that a friend of ours who works in capitals all across this nation and around the world sent a note to Donald Trump and said, if you get into the White House, can we come and hold Bible studies in the White House? And Donald Trump answered in the positive, in his own words, in his own handwriting, saying basically, yes, that's a good idea. We will consider it. This is what you've got in Donald Trump, David.
Gary, let me jump over to what took place last night at the Alfred E. Smith dinner, you know, this annual dinner that's held, and it's considered to be a time when, you know, if it's in a political year, the political candidates, you know, for president come and they kind of poke fun at themselves and a little bit of fun at each other. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in the news about what took place there last night, that it got dirty and ugly. I don't mean dirty in the sense of language dirty. It was nothing like that necessarily. But Donald Trump, you know, said some things about Hillary, about her dishonesty, pointed out some things, you know, that he referenced in the debate on Wednesday evening. And then she certainly in return in prepared remarks, because she was reading from prepared remarks, said some things about him. And they would go to the facial expressions of Trump while Hillary was making some comments about him. They would look at Hillary's face while Trump was making some comments about her. And someone pointed this out to me. This is very, very interesting, that Trump smiled even when she lowered the boom on him and tried to literally just accost him verbally. He had a smile of serenity on his face. When he touched on anything that was sensitive with respect to her unethical behavior, you could see in her face, Gary, what you often see or saw in the debates, and that is, if I could get my hands around your neck, I would try to choke you. Did you observe that, Gary? I thought that was very, very interesting. It was a different demeanor on Trump's part, just a serenity that would maybe indicate, again, something going on in his heart.
Well, absolutely, yes. And I noticed that. I didn't watch all of it. I just sort of got tired of it, but I did notice that. But I also heard a reporter who was in the room this morning say that Donald Trump was consistently, well, I won't say consistently, what was the word? I don't remember the word. But Donald Trump was reaching out to Hillary, whether it was to talk to her, to shake her hand, or whatever. He reached out to her in that Alfred E. Smith gathering rather than her reaching out to him. What does that say?
Well, Gary, it says a lot to me. And friends, when we come back to the break, we're going to be talking about the 19 days that we have left between now and Election Day. And we have a solemn charge, a challenge we want to issue to you at the end of today's program with respect to November 7th. Friend, please don't miss the final segment. You're going to want to listen to what we have to say about the poll numbers, where all this may be headed, and then that solemn charge right after these breaks.
At the American Pastors Network, we urge pastors and Christian parents to seek a Christian education for their children, not as a preference, but a conviction. Whether in homeschool or Christian school, a Christian education is essential if we ever hope to raise godly children and change the culture for Christ. That's why on this program and our Stand in the Gap Today program, we are glad to partner with BJU Press, the nation's largest provider of K-12 Christian curriculum. Academically excellent, biblically sound, and historically accurate. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. The month of October has been Pastor Appreciation Month. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network with another Stand in the Gap Minute. During these last weeks, we've identified pastors as being worthy of double honor if they faithfully preach the Word of God, as occupying ordained positions of authority, and as shepherds who need our care. But did you know that your pastor is also accountable to God for your soul? At APN, we encourage our pastors to fully understand their role in preaching the whole counsel of God and in teaching their people about the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. Pastors will give an account one day to God for how they've warned, equipped, prepared, and guided their people during their life. Your pastor bears a heavy load of responsibility because he's to care for your soul. I and all of those at the American Pastors Network urge you to help your pastor by praying for them, honoring them in the weighty position that they fill, and above all, by living holy and righteous lives. You've been listening to a discussion between our daily radio program host, Gary Dahl, and Dave Kistler about Donald Trump's spiritual journey. Now, in this fourth and final segment, we're going to continue our discussion about the election with an admonition to all of our listeners about a day of fasting and prayer that we hope that you'll be a part of.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. We're talking about the spiritual journey that Donald Trump is on and has been on for some time. And Gary, let me go ahead and say this so our audience will understand. You and I and Sam have known about this profession of faith by Donald Trump for some time. It has been something that we heard about very early on. And it's not something about which we have really said anything on this program for this reason. We wanted to see, you know, something that would maybe indicate the reality of that profession. We didn't want to go to it immediately. And if I am not mistaken, Gary, the spiritual advisory team has advised Trump not to, you know, say something about this in a real overt way because of the way the media would try to spin it and say, you know, you're just using this as a political advantage, trying to garner the vote of the evangelical community and so on. Let them see your faith, and then the time will be right for you to say something more about it. But Gary, we've known about this for some time. We're choosing to bring it up today because of this incredible phone call you had on Tuesday, where all of these things about Donald seeking the truth, wanting the input of this incredible spiritual advisory council, wanting all of that in his life. And so we felt like now was the time to bring that up. Before we talk about these poll numbers prior to elections, Gary, is there any final thing you'd like to say about this? Because you were on that call. You heard it with your own ears, and I just think it's been an amazing thing to listen to today.
Well, you know, you just said what I was thinking about saying, and that is somebody said on that call, well, in relationship to the debate the other night on Wednesday, somebody said to James Robertson, well, why doesn't Donald Trump just come right out and say at the beginning of the debate, I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want to serve Him. I want to grow in Christ. I'm not the same Donald Trump I used to be. And a lot of folks have asked that question, you know, when we've talked to them. And the advice of the spiritual advisory team was just as you said to Donald Trump, don't do that because it will be used against you politically. And then, of course, he brought up the situation with Jimmy Carter. Remember back in 1976, how the Jimmy Carter came on the scene, said he was a born-again Christian, and how that messed things up and even divided the body of Christ. If you remember, I was pastoring then.
Gary, I remember it vividly. And then, of course, you know, he ran basically on the fact that I'm a born-again believer, Southern Baptist, Sunday school teacher.
Yep.
And, of course, that didn't end well.
And so, you know, the spiritual advisory team suggested against that. And I said that to different people and information I send out, and somebody responded and said, that's a very secular answer. But it's not a secular answer, Dave. It's as Jesus said, be as wise as a serpent and as harmful as a dove. And I think that's wise. You know that? And James Robinson basically said, watch his life. Watch his deportment. You'll see the difference.
Well, Gary, I agree with you. I think what they were trying to tell him is this. Let him see your faith before you have to say anything about your faith, and the time will come when you can say something about it. And by the way, Gary, last time I checked, there's an entire book of the Bible, the book of James, that deals with that very topic. I want to see your faith by your works, and I think that's what these very wise spiritual advisors were advocating that Donald Trump do. Now, I want to shift gears here, Gary. You made the perfect segue by mentioning the Jimmy Carter-Ronald Reagan election in 1980. But, Gary, at about this same spot in 1980, right before one of the largest landslide victories in electoral politics, presidential electoral politics, Jimmy Carter, according to the Gallup poll, had 47% support, and Ronald Reagan had 39% support. The election 2 weeks later, as I said, ended up being a landslide that was so big, so catastrophic for Jimmy Carter, that Jimmy Carter came out and conceded the race before the polls even closed, Gary, in California. Okay? Now, let's go back to 1988, okay? Not 1980, 1988. The Gallup poll on July 26, now this is a good number of months before the actual election, but in July of 1988, it showed Michael Dukakis leading George H.W. Bush by 17 points. And Gary, of course, we know how that election turned out as well. So what I want you to do is, again, maybe state what you said earlier, because, Gary, you have been saying this, not so much on air, but been saying it to Sam and me in private. Is there something going on that on election night, November 8th, we may have some shocked pundits?
Well, I think that we will. And, of course, keep in mind that when the primaries began, everybody said Trump's not going to do it. Trump's not going to do it. He's in it for fun. He's not sincere. And there's no way that he's going to win the primary. Well, out of 17 people, he's the only one standing. And so I kind of think that there is going to be a surprise to people come November the 9th. I could be wrong, but I am thinking that. But one of the things we do want to keep in mind before we have a final challenge is this. Just because a person is a born-again Christian does not mean we should vote for them. You know, certainly we do want people of faith in positions of authority. But, you know, we're not saying go out and vote for Donald Trump because he made a decision for Christ. The only thing that we are doing, Dave, is telling the truth of what we know firsthand to our listeners today.
Exactly right, Gary. Just because someone says that they are a born-again believer is not in and of itself the reason to vote for them. Gary, we have been advocating all along that the reason to vote for Donald Trump is the incredible, the absolutely phenomenally biblical platform on which he stands. It is the most biblical in GOP history. Never have we had the kind of things that are planks of the platform that are in that platform this time. But when you add to the mix the fact that this man has evidently made a profession of faith in Christ, that is, Gary, in my estimation, just icing on our proverbial cake. That's all that is. But we're voting for the platform, for the policy positions, those things that will be implemented, the strong constitutionality of Donald Trump with respect to Supreme Court justices, all those things that he laid out, his strong stance of being pro-life, all of that is why you should vote. This is icing on the cake. Gary, this is the admonition I want to give to all of our listening audience in these final moments before we close out this program for the week. And that is this. We are encouraging people all across the nation on November 7, the day before Election Day, to pray like you've never prayed before. And we're asking you to consider doing this, fasting and praying. If you don't have a physical ailment or illness that necessitates that you eat three solid meals or maybe more meals a day of a smaller size, then friends, would you pray about fasting and praying on that day? This is the most critical election our nation has ever faced. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Many are now saying that Donald Trump is the only roadblock from our nation going over the precipice of extinction and literally to a place of destruction, a place that has been rapidly facilitated by the last 8 years of Barack Obama, and Hillary would continue that. Pray and fast. Fast and pray on November 7. Gary, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be doing that. I know you're going to be doing that. Sam's going to be doing that. Friends, would you join us in a time of fasting and prayer on November 7? We're going to be talking a lot more about this in the weeks leading up to November 8. We want to get that out there now. Gary, could I have you do this? I know we have just a few seconds left. Would you mind closing the program in prayer for the elections, for our nation, and most importantly, for revival?
Indeed, I would. Father in heaven, as we come to you, we do know that you are the sovereign God. And however, we do love this nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray that leaders will come to Christ, that they will seek your wisdom in every decision that they make, and that truly we will see revival in our nation because of your people getting right with you in their hearts and in local churches, and we'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend. Now, if you're still on the fence, so to speak, about this election, can I invite you to tune in to our daily broadcast? Each day between now and the election, our program will feature a well-known guest like Michelle Bachman or George Barna, who will share from their heart personal messages to you about participating in this election. Please consider joining us by listening online on our website live from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time Monday through Friday. Our website address for listening online can be found at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You can also access the archives to all of our radio programs by visiting the same site. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's program. It's important that God's people be informed about what's happening behind the scenes on many different levels, which is why it's so important that pastors understand and communicate the truth to their people. The prophets of old were as watchmen on the wall, calling out and warning the people to resist the enemy and obey the truth. Stand in the Gap today, Stand in the Gap weekend, and the American Pastors Network senses this role as part of our calling. Now, perhaps the Holy Spirit has come along and spoken to your heart about helping us and becoming a monthly financial partner. We believe that we're running out of time for God's people and the church in America to communicate God's word in freedom. We need your urgent help right now. If you understand the need to enlist and fortify pastors across the nation as they commit to preaching passionately the whole counsel of God with a biblical worldview, then help us. If you pray that pastors would begin committing to praying fervently with faith, obedience, and discipline, and encouraging their congregations to be salt and light and to engage the culture with truth and good citizenship, then help us. Establishing state chapters of bold and obedient pastors is part of God's calling for APN, and we need your monthly financial help right now. For a gift of just $25 or more, I'll send you a DVD of a recent sermon I preached entitled Preparation for Persecution. Persecution is a reality, and we see it inflicted at the hands of worldwide jihadi Islam, increasing in America. It's a topic the Scripture speaks about, but for which there is, unfortunately, very little preaching. Christ speaks about it, and we must understand how to prepare. You will want to watch this sermon and share it with others. And when you send your gift, just mark on the check or online that the DVD, Preparation for Persecution. If you'd like to help us in our goal to establish more state chapters, you can do that too, and we'll be glad to send you this same DVD, Persecution or Preparation for Persecution. You know, it takes about $10,000 to fully launch each chapter. We have bold and articulate pastors in 5 key states right now ready to go, but we lack the necessary funds to do so. Would you consider joining with us in accomplishing this goal by making a contribution right now, a one-time gift perhaps of $1,000, or perhaps several hundred dollars, or maybe far less? I know that God will bless and magnify whatever you send, and He knows what you can do, and He'll bless whatever you can do to help the American Pastors Network in this critical, God-ordained effort. To help is simple. You can call us at 610-901-3607, or you can go to the standinthegapradio.com site and press the donate button. Your financial help right now cannot be overstated. And just to specify again, that gift offer, Persecution, Preparation for Persecution, and we'll send you the DVD. To write out a check to APN, send your gift to American Pastors Network, 83 West Main Street, Suite 3, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. That's 83 West Main Street, Suite 3, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. America's at a crossroads. God's people hold the key, and the pulpits of America must lead the way. Help us at the American Pastors Network to stand in the gap for truth now. I hope to hear from you this week. Until next time, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
Thank you for listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth, and to provide you with a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. APN promotes the return of our nation to God through preaching, praying, and equipping Christians to reclaim the culture as soldiers and ambassadors of Christ. God hears the calls of His people who learn the truth and obey it. To partner with APN, please visit us on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You can sign up to receive regular updates, to become a prayer partner, or to help as a financial partner. You may also call us at 610-901-3607. Again, that's 610-901-3607. To listen to any of our Stand in the Gap programs, including our live daily program, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network. Pastors preaching the truth, equipping their people to impact the culture for Christ.